The with God life. Life was designed to be lived with God. Do you know that? From the very onset, where we have the story of our first parents, Adam and Eve, life was designed to be lived with God at the very center of everything. It says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Now, how awesome would it be every single day of your life to end the day in the cool, the best part of the day, walking with God? That's how life was designed to be, to have God at the front and center of everything. And Paul once described life in Christ like this. He said, "For in him we live, and in him we move, and have our being." Life is designed to be lived with God. You know, fish were designed to live in the water. Birds were designed for the air. Humans were designed to live with God. He's our environment. He's who we are. But then sin and chaos came in. Death entered in. And we broke the creative order of God. And we attempted to live life on our own apart from God. So now instead of us experiencing the with God life, we're experiencing this separation that we have with God. Way back in Genesis 3, there was this disconnect. It's called the fall. We have fallen from grace. And ever since Adam and Eve made their choice, we've all made our own choices too. We've all created our own set of problems. And there's been problems in this world and sin and death ever since, and even in our lives. We've all done the same thing and gone our own way and made that disconnect with God. And the good news is that Jesus came to repair and restore that relationship with our Heavenly Father. He came to fix it. He came to mediate or to reconcile that relationship. And he's the only one that's capable of doing that. And this brings us to our text. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus gives out this grand invitation. And I want to talk to you from the subject of take my yoke. Take my yoke. Will you read this with me? "Take my yoke upon you." This is Jesus speaking. "And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness in our life. We thank you for your word. It gives us hope. It gives us promise. And we thank you for your grace, Lord, that empowers us to live into everything that you've given us, everything that you paid for. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Strengthen our souls. Help us to find that place of rest you talked about. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So did you see it when we were reading through it? I'm sorry about the interruption there. The goal Jesus wants for us is that we find a place of rest for our soul. That you find that place of rest for your soul. That's what he's talking about. I want to help you find that place. And so Jesus speaks to a restless world, to a bunch of restless souls, people trying to find their way, bumping into each other, doing all kinds of things, going their own path, all kinds of stress and all kinds of chaos. And he speaks to this restless world and he says, "I want to help you find peace. I want to help you find that rest for your soul." Jesus makes it very clear that he wants that for us. Now, we know about peace and resting in peace and the great by and by. We know about that kind of thing. But I don't think Jesus is just talking about that. I think he's talking about today, you and I living our life every single day in his peace, living in rest. You know, Jesus did that. Jesus lived in rest among a restless world. But Jesus lays out this pathway right here, this pathway for us to have peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with other people, and even have that peace of mind that we can literally live with every single day. Jesus' goal is for us to have rest for our souls. So he kind of rolls out the red carpet for everybody, and he gives a royal invitation. And he says, "I want everyone to come to me." Jesus knows that in order for you, see, he's already come to us. He knows in order for you to have that kind of rest and that kind of peace, that you and I are going to have to make an effort and now come to him. So you get the picture. Jesus comes to us. He comes in on the scene of our lives. And now he says, "Now what I want out of you is I've traveled all this way to get to you. Now I need you to make that last step and come to me." Isn't that the way it is with him? It's not that he does it all for us, but he does make the way and he makes the invitation and he says, "Now what I need you to do is I need you to make this step in your life and I need you to come to me. You need to come to me." And this come to me is an invitation to follow Jesus. It's an invitation to be a student of Jesus. It's an invitation to be a disciple, to follow Him in every step of life. It's an invitation to a relationship, a day-in, day-out relationship. It's not about religion at all. It's about life. And that's important. And it's more than a decision about heaven and hell. That's important. You got to get that right. But it's more than that. It's about a decision about how you're going to live your life. You know, preachers are known to say, what if you die today? Where are you going to go? And that's an important question to answer. But what if you don't die today? How are you going to live? I believe that's what Jesus is after. In the here and now, how are you going to live your life? And the first thing He says you need to do is come to Me. Come to Me. So who is invited? He lays it out right there. Who's invited? All who labor and are heavy laden. Everybody who is weary, worn out. Woof. Anybody like that? Stressed out? Aren't we living? Don't you just feel the rubber band keep stretching in this world that we're living in? All of us, the stress is mounting. We're all getting wore out a little bit more. We're all really tired and wore out of the way things are. To all of those who are weary and worn out, Jesus extends an invitation and He says, I want you to come. Especially those who are worn out by all this man-made religion and all the legalism and man-centered religion and all those kind of things. Jesus, if you'll read the first part of chapter 11, Jesus is really hammering on folks, especially the legalistic kind. He's really hammering on them. And He says, all you folks has been beat up by folks who may even say they go to church or may even claim to be Christians. All those people who are religious in nature, all you who have been beat up and heavy burdens have been laid upon you that you can't take, you can't carry them out. It's too heavy. All of you, I want you to come. Those who are weary. How do you get so weary? Got some heavy stuff. And we in our family right this minute, we have got some heavy duty stuff going on. Anybody else like that? I mean, you got some real heavy stuff that you're carrying. Maybe it's finances, and maybe it's health, and maybe it's some kids. Oh my Lord, them kids. It gets heavy, doesn't it? Life gets heavy. And God forbid you watch the news. It's heavy all over the world. There's all kinds of madness going on, all kinds of craziness. So we get these things and we get wearied and we get, boom, stuff happens. Phone calls come in and it changes everything. We carry the weight, and on top of that, we carry the weight of some of our sin and shame and regrets and all the past guilt that we've had, things of that nature. We carry all those heavy loads. And then on top of all that, you got life. You just got work and you got responsibilities and you got money issues and you got family and you got all the cares of this world that just keep piling on. And Jesus said, that's who I want. I want those who are carrying those burdens. I want them to come to Me. And that's interesting. Because this King invites the weary and the worn out. He said, I want you to come be on My team. But see, most kings, they choose the best. They choose the brightest. They choose the most likely to succeed. That's what most kings would do, right? You get the smartest and the prettiest and all of that. And Jesus says, I'm not just here to pick the all-stars out of the community. Thank God for those folks that shine. Maybe they help us all. Or maybe they all make us feel bad. I'm not here just to pick the all-stars. I'm here to pick just the normal people who are dealing with crazy life. I'm here to pick you and say, come to Me. I want you on My team. It's a different kind of king. And He's building a different kind of kingdom. And with these words, and you see it time and time again throughout the Gospels, Jesus swings open the doors of His kingdom. He opens the gates wide and He says, whoever wants to come, come on. Come on. And the promise is, if you come to Me, I will give you rest. See, again, He's been dealing with all these religious folks in the early part of the chapter. And they're talking about how you can earn your rest. And legalism does that, and religion does that, how you can earn your rest. Jesus said, no, you can't earn this kind of rest. You'll work yourself to death is what you'll do. I got a different type of rest, and I want to just give it to you. I want to grace you with rest. But you got to come to me. And Jesus is inferring something real big here. He's inferring that he's the only one who can give you that. He's the only one that can give you what you truly need. And it's not the material things. It's not the finances. It's not the bank accounts. It's not the retirement accounts. It's not all that kind of thing. I can give you what you need in the anchor of who you are, in the matrix of your soul. I can give you what you need. Rest. And here's how this relationship works. Now, whenever you read the Gospels, you got to get into the pictures because it's very picturesque. You got to let your sanctified imagination kind of go with the text and picture it. Okay? So what's he talking about? He says, to take my yoke upon me, upon you. Take my yoke upon you. That's a picture, isn't it? So you got to think. Just don't read these words. It's very likely that Jesus may be pointing across a field at a farmer working. Or he's referring to things that they would certainly know and have images of in their mind. Jesus says, I'm here now, and what I want you to do is take my yoke upon you. Now, you know, anybody know what a yoke is? Glenn, you know what a yoke is? A yoke is a piece of equipment, isn't it? It's a piece of farm equipment. Now, here's a small one right here. A buddy of mine made this. I maybe you could put two goats in here, but you couldn't put two oxen. But you get the idea. You get the point, right? This is a yoke. This thing's a yoke. And imagine we had two oxen or maybe two mules or two horses. It would be real big. I wouldn't be able to hold it. It'd be big. And what a yoke is, it's this piece of equipment designed to make these two animals work together as one, right? So they're all pulling in the same direction. And what it does is it harnesses the strength of both animals and it gives them the ability to do more together than they could do by themselves. In fact, they tell me now, I don't know, some of y'all may know more about this than I do. But if you take two horses and put them together, you don't double your strength. It's something like you'd go like 6 to 10 times your strength when they pull together. Because they motivate each other. And their strength compounds. And Jesus says, what I want you to do, I want you to take this upon you. You see our part in it? Jesus is making the offer. But our part is that we then take it upon ourselves. We the image now, see the picture he's talking about. You, on your own volition, by a choice of your free will, you take this yoke and you put your head right here. You see what he's talking about? Now, it's not a lasso situation. I mean, God could lasso you, drag you, tie your feet in a 3-point and drag you across the arena. He could do that, couldn't he? But that's not what he wants. He certainly is stronger than us, and he certainly could make us, and he could force us into this. But Jesus is not saying that. He's saying, you, on your own free will, I want you to come into relationship with me. And I want you to connect yourself with me. So it's a picture. It's a picture. Jesus is drawing us a picture of this double yoke. And guess who's on one side? He is. And you're on the other side. And he says, I want us to be together in this relationship to where we pull this plow of life together. We're pulling the wagon together. The wagon of your life, of raising those kids, of building that business, of working that job, of dealing with all the issues of life. I want to join you in life and I want you to join me in my life. You see what he's talking about? So take this yoke. So if we were farmers and we were still dealing with this, Well, we're glad we don't have to do it. Thank God for John Deere. You know what I'm talking about? But if we were farmers back in the day, back in Jesus' day especially, you would take a trained oxen, maybe one you've had plow in the field for quite some time. He knows the lines, he knows the furrows, he knows the commands. You take that trained ox, you put him here, and you take that old wild one. It's got a lot of strength, but it ain't got no sense. Anybody know anybody? Never mind. You take that ox and you put that young, untrained ox with the trained ox, and guess what happens? He's going to learn him a little something, ain't he? And that old, seasoned, strong ox, he'll drag that old boy across that field until he figures out who the boss is. And the yoke holds them together. You see what Jesus is saying? So in this relationship, this picture again now, this relationship, who's the lead ox? Jesus, he's taking the lead. He knows we got to go to the left. He takes the lead. I follow. He knows we need to pull a little stronger. He picks up the pace a little bit. So, okay. Well, he slows it down a little bit. Okay. So Jesus is the lead ox, and I'm the young wild one. And I'm in this relationship with him together. This is what Jesus says I want you to take upon your life. Now think about us as a church. We need to get in this thing with Jesus together. He's got a place he wants to take us. He's got some fields he wants us to plow and some seeds he wants us to plant and some harvest he wants us to bring in. And we've got to get in this relationship, all of us collectively together. We've got to get in this relationship with Jesus and let him lead us. And the old song says, where he leads me, I will follow. Right? You see the picture? All right. He says, get in this yoke with me and learn from me. Learn from me. So that's that learning part. That you literally, when you learn from a teacher, you begin to learn what that teacher knows so that you can know what that teacher knows so that you can do what that teacher's doing with their life or with their trade or whatever it might be. He says, learn from me. Right here, Jesus is applying for a job in your life. Jesus says, I am applying for the job to be your teacher. I want to be your teacher. I want to get you in this yoke with me, and I want to teach you. Back in the old days, the rabbis would call their teachings their yoke. And a disciple would fall in line with the yoke by listening to what the teacher said and doing it. There's no doubt Jesus is inferring that. He wants that. He's got many things he wants to teach us. We've got many things we need to learn, don't we? Still. And you know what, Mr. Glenn, I learn a lot, but the more I learn, the more I know I need to learn. Isn't that what you learn? So he wants to teach us. I want you to come and learn from me. I want to teach you about life. And in this whole process, he's offering to be our teacher. But you know, here's something I found with people now. And all these 30 years of pastoring and all that kind of thing, you know what I found out with people? Many, many want to make Jesus their Savior and get their fire insurance. But very few people want to make him their teacher. We find that. Hey, I found that in my own life. But it doesn't work that way, does it? Jesus comes as our Savior. He comes as our teacher. He comes as our Lord. He comes as our King. And it's an all one size deal package. We take him as our teacher. So Jesus wants to be our teacher. Now let's think about our teacher just for a moment. He's more than qualified. You know that Jesus is the smartest person that's ever lived on this planet. By far. By far, Jesus knows the mysteries of God. He knows the ins and outs of all the mysteries of God and godliness. He knows those mysteries. Jesus knows the best way that you can live your life. He knows that. He would like to teach you some of that. Jesus knows the best way that you can live, and He knows you better than you know yourself. This is our teacher. Jesus knows, listen to this. Jesus knows how to turn water into wine. He can speak to molecules, and those molecules begin to change, and they literally transform and bypasses the process of time. And Jesus knows how to do that. Jesus knows how to multiply matter. And you can give Him a little boy's sack lunch, 2 fish and 5 loaves, and Jesus knows how to speak to that situation and cause those fish to multiply and cause matter to even break the laws of nature, it seems. Jesus, our teacher, He knows how to walk on water. That'd be pretty cool to have a teacher like that, wouldn't it? I mean, anybody in here know how to do that? Just fill a bathtub up and try it and take a video. We want to see it. Jesus knows how to speak to, I mean, literally speak to physical bodies and cause them to rejuvenate and be healed. This is our teacher. This is who we're dealing with. He's the one who invites us to come and learn from Him. This is just not any ordinary invitation or any ordinary person. Or this is not about going to church. This is about following the one who knows everything and is willing to teach you, train you, and help you. Jesus knows how to see and deal with the kingdom of darkness. Everybody else just thought it was a problem, and then Jesus starts speaking to stuff nobody can see. Crazy stuff starts happening. He knows about all that. And here's our teacher. Our teacher knows how to face death, walk right through the middle of it, come out on the other side, and be more alive than He was when He started. He knows how to do that. You might want to follow Him. We're going to have to walk that path one day. I would like to have somebody who's been there before. And Jesus makes this offer, and He says, I want to teach you some of these things about God and life and death and all those kind of things and resurrection. I want to teach. Come and learn from Me. Come and learn from Me. Nobody else can teach you that kind of stuff. How about this? He wants to teach us. He says this. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, He's teaching us something else. But I'm going to teach you something else. I want you to love your enemies and bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. See, He's teaching us some things. Because I don't know about you, but somebody spitefully uses me, my first instinct is not to pray for them. I got a left hook that kind of jumps. I got to watch it. Anybody like that? You got to watch it. Because see, that's what I learned. Did you say, excuse the grammar. I want to learn you something else. I want to teach you something else. I want to teach you to bless people who want your demise. I want to teach you to love people who hate you. That's big. See, He not only teaches us what to do. See, Jesus' goal is not just to teach us information. Jesus' goal is to teach us this transformation so that we can literally become more like Him. That's where He's taking us. And He says, I want you to learn from Me. And then He tells us a little bit about His character. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. He tells us what kind of teacher He is. Anybody ever had a teacher that was a little rough on you? I come from old school athletics. I come from the old school where football coaches used, you know, you'd fall out on a play and they'd pick you up by your face mask. Anybody know about them guys? They'd pick you up and they'd shake you and they'd rowdy you. They'd call you things you ain't ever even heard. And you're 16 years old. And you're, anybody got football coaches remember that kind of stuff? Baseball coaches, all that kind of stuff? Or anybody ever been to the doctor and they just a little rough on you? I remember one time I broke my hand and it was not pretty. And then it was obvious that this bone was, it was almost protruding out of the skin. And the doctor come up to me and said, is that where it is? Bam! And instantly I was like a four-year-old little girl. Ah! You know what I'm talking about? Well, Jesus is not like that. His desire is not to be rough. His desire is not to even pour wrath upon us. That's not his desire at all. He says, I want you to understand who I am, that I'm gentle and lowly in heart. He's gentle with us. He's humble. Now, you wouldn't expect that from a king or somebody with this kind of power and this kind of might and this kind of influence and this and comes from this kind of background. You wouldn't expect that. You would expect maybe something a little bit more forceful and tyrannical. But Jesus is telling us that you can learn a lot by just knowing the kind of person I am. And you know, when somebody is a little bit more gentle with you and a little bit more humble, they're not condescending, they're patient, they're kind, they're compassionate, it's a little easier to learn, isn't it? And you know why Jesus can be gentle and humble with us? Because he really cares about us. And he's really interested in us getting further down this path. It's not about him. It's not about his resume. He really is interested in us. And he's interested in so much that I'll do whatever it takes to be patient with you. I'm going to tell you, I don't need any help with that. I can look at my own life and my own testimony, and God has been extremely patient with me. Anybody got that? He's been extremely patient with me. I've made some serious bonehead mistakes, and he didn't discard me. So he's telling us. And this is somebody you can really learn from. And let's wrap it up with this. He says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Easy. Most people don't view the Christian life as easy. What's he talking about? Well, Proverbs 13 says the way of the transgressor is hard. That other way is what's the hard way to go. This is the easy way. And you know what? Reality will teach you that Jesus' way is the best way. Easy. It's the word pleasant. Huh. That's in our name, isn't it? For my yoke is pleasant. Or it's pleasing. It will suit you the best. That's the idea of easy. It's better. And my burden is light. Light. In contrast to how it started, all the weariness and all the heaviness, Jesus said, come after me. Come to me. Take this yoke. And you'll find out that my burden is light. Now, why is it light? Because see, when we hear this text, all we hear is like our commitment to it. And it is big. Our commitment is big. We've got to take the yoke and we need to follow him. But something else is playing here as well. It's Jesus' commitment to you. What is happening here, Jesus is committing him. If you come into this yoke, you're committing yourself to Jesus, what you'll find out is that Jesus is 110% committed to you. That's what brings the lightness. Because here's the deal. The reason life becomes a little lighter is because you're not having to pull the load by yourself. You got him with you. That's why it's lighter. You're not pulling the wagon by yourself. I got him. And you know what I found out?
He's a lot stronger than I am. Did you hear what I said?
He's a lot stronger than me. And that's a good match for me. And I found out in life, if when I'm pulling, and we've been pulling a lot, and I get weary, it's because I'm pulling more than I should. And I need to defer to the one who's stronger than I. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Go ahead. Did you hear the invitation? Take my yoke upon you. That's for us individually. That's for us as a family. That's for us as a church family. To take the yoke of Jesus upon us. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. In your word, we find life. Lord, we thank you for this invitation. We thank you for this opportunity. Give us the strength to do what you say. With heads bowed, beloved, the greatest opportunity you'll ever have in your life is to become a student of Jesus. That's the greatest opportunity you'll have. And it's laid out before us all. And Jesus says, but I just need you to make a decision to come follow me. And within that, he promises to forgive us of our sins and all the things we've done wrong. He promises to walk with us and yoke himself to us all the days of our life. If you're here this morning and you haven't made that decision yet to follow Christ, it's a great day to do it.